We'll move to the last case of the day, which would be Anthony Cooper versus Asset Acceptance. Mr. Williams.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. My name is Jim Williams. I represent Tony Cooper. Counsel, may it please the court. I've represented Mr. Cooper for about 10 years in multiple litigation matters, and as the court can tell from the record, I represent him in the actual case that happened before this case. In this case, we filed a suit against Asset Acceptance Corporation, the appellee. And that suit was about a violation of a state statute. That suit proceeded for almost 8 months, and at the end of that 8-month period, Asset Acceptance popped out an arbitration clause and says, no, we want to go through arbitration. Well, I think it's important to look at the facts of this case, and it's really important to look at what happened 2 weeks before they announced they wanted to do arbitration. They got a negative ruling on a dispositive motion to dismiss. So, in my argument about the arbitration, I said they have waived the argument, or they've waived the arbitration. But unfortunately, Judge Reagan did not agree with me, and his order is what we're bringing to this court and asking you to reverse. Specifically, I want to talk about factual errors. All right? I believe there are three significant factual errors in the judge's determination in this case that require reversal. First, in this case, the defendant at the time, Asset, got involved in discovery. All right? And even before that, well, I'm going to do it chronologically if that's all right with the court. First, they removed the case. And we know from cabinetry and Judge Posner's decision in cabinetry that once a defendant removes a case from state court to federal court, that creates a presumption that they intend to be involved in the state court litigation. Next, they filed a dispositive motion to dismiss. Now, albeit it was captioned a 12B6 motion, but if you dive into the motion, there are three sections of that motion that are very clear that they intend this litigation to be over. The first section is res judicata. They say that the previous litigation resolved all issues. Now, eventually Judge Reagan ruled against them, but they clearly raised it, and they clearly intended to resolve this litigation in its entirety. And where does that intent come from? Well, how can we divine that from this record? I would refer you to document 24 in the record, and it's a motion they filed to stay discovery. And in that, the final sentence, or the first sentence in their conclusion, they say, if you rule for us in the motion to dismiss, this case is over in its entirety. And I think that's about an exact quote. But backing up again, after they filed their dispositive motion to dismiss, then in March of 2012, they send to me discovery. All right? Now remember, this is a waiver issue. They send to me discovery asking me all kinds of questions, and I attach that to my motion or my reply to their motion for arbitration, saying that this is waived, and pointed out all these discovery requests. They sent a request to admit. They sent a request to produce. And they sent interrogatories. All these things were sent before there was any motion to stay. It was part of the regular process of the case.
Was this discovery submitted during the with the motion to dismiss is under advisement or something?
Yes, Your Honor. The motion to dismiss was taken under advisement, and as you can tell from the record, we had several meetings about discovery. We proceeded to have several discovery conferences.
These are all before the court.
These are all before the court. They're all in the record. I can point them out if you want me to, but there are several where we have telephone conferences with the Magistrate Williams. And for some reason, and I don't understand this, and this is one of the things I wanted to specifically point out, on page 7, which is attached to my appendix, of Judge Reagan's order, Judge Reagan says the parties were compelled to get themselves involved in discovery. The parties were never compelled to do discovery. I sent out interrogatories. I sent out a request to produce. So did the defendant. There was never a motion to stay that was denied before the discovery was before they got involved in discovery. So we have a dispositive motion to dismiss. We have their participation in discovery. And then, what I think is really important, on 5/18/2012, there's a hearing before Judge Williams. And this is document 26 in the record. In that hearing, they had prior to that attempted to pick off my plaintiff. All right, and by that I mean they'd attempted to offer everything that he could ever request or be awarded in damages in this case. So first they tried the pickoff. Well, that didn't work because I, in state court, before the removal, I had filed a motion to certify because I'd read this court's decision, and I think it's TWA or the airline case where there was an issue about airline baggage. And after reading that case, it became clear to me that that would be a tactic in future litigation, that they would attempt to pick people off. So what I did was, before the case was ever removed, I filed a motion to certify in state court. So
you said certify a class.
Certify a class, yes, Your Honor. Then, in that same, and here's another, I think, really important factor. In that same hearing before Magistrate Williams, Asset asked the court to force me to answer the discovery. And guess what? Magistrate Williams forced me to answer the discovery. So not only did they voluntarily send me the discovery, then they go to the magistrate and say, you've got to make him answer the discovery. Now, I didn't necessarily agree with what the magistrate did because there had never been a meet and confer about their discovery. There had never been the standard steps that were supposed to happen before you have a judge force you to answer discovery. But I'm an officer of the court. I answered all their discoveries. As a matter of fact, I copied my entire file except for, I think, one letter I'd written to the client and sent it to them. They had everything that we had in our file regarding this litigation. So then, immediately after that hearing, and keep in mind, about 2 days before the Magistrate Williams hearing, the district judge, Judge Reagan, had denied their motion to dismiss. Okay? So that happened on 5/15/2012. And within 2 weeks of that date, 2 weeks of 5/15, actually on 5/29, they file a motion to force me into arbitration. I think the theme of this argument should be heads I win, tails, or actually heads they win, tails they win. And that's what Judge Posner described this at in cabinetry. The intent to be involved in litigation is what you can divine from this record, and you can divine that the defendant here made an effort to dispose of this entire litigation. They thought they were going to win their motion to dismiss, and they chose to wait until they saw what happened with that motion to dismiss to go ahead and file their motion to arbitrate. Does that mean I'm into my rebuttal time?
Yes, it does. But,
very much.
You can respond when you do come back, though. I just want you to look at what the discretion of the judge was in that case as far as knowing what's went on and everything else.
I will, Your Honor.
Mr. Seitz.
May it please the court, brother counsel, Ted Seitz appearing on behalf of the appellee in this case, Asset Acceptance. The district court knew everything that appellant's counsel just told you about, and it's in the record. And you can see it in the district court's opinion. It knew about the discovery taking place. It knew about the motion to dismiss. It knew about all those events. And looking at the totality of the circumstances, being in the front seat of the litigation, made the determination that Asset had met and rebutted the presumption of waiver. It knew all this. It knew that Asset had filed a motion to dismiss. It knew the substance of that motion to dismiss. It also knew that this court has held that a motion to dismiss does not waive the right to arbitration. It understood cabinetry, and it went through that opinion as well and made some notable differences to what happened in cabinetry and what happened in the case before it. Doing all that, and under the standard of clear error, and as this court has pointed out before, that these are basically factual determinations for the district court to undergo and to make the resolution of whether a party has waived its right to arbitrate or not. The district court made that determination, said Asset had not waived its right to arbitrate, and sent the case to arbitration. With that, I would say the district court should be affirmed. And I'm done with my argument unless the court has any.
Well, questions. I guess it's a discretionary thing because it went pretty far into it. There's a lot of things that happened. And I guess one could move to dismiss whatever period of time that takes. Then it's denied. I suppose that would have been dispositive if it had been granted. So when that failed, then he thinks, well, now you're retreating over to arbitration when you should have done that early on. And what's the reason why, and really want to know the answer is that what's the reason why this effort was prolonged, or do you think it was necessary that you had no choice but to wait until the dismissal motion was completed before arbitration would even be available?
I think that's part of the answer, Your Honor. As we put forth in our brief and was in our reply in the district court, although it's not clear in the district court's ruling, besides saying that ACID didn't evidence an intent to play heads or tails with it, there was some questions on arbitrability that were cleared up while this case, while the motion to dismiss was pending. There was the CompuCredit decision from the United States Supreme Court that favored arbitration. And there's also the Gore v. Altel case from this circuit that affirmed that arbitration could be used by an assignee of an arbitration contract, such as ACID is here. And that was one reason why the arbitration motion was not immediately filed. The other reason was, as this court had said before, that filing a motion to dismiss, including maybe taking some protective steps and to, in our view, clear out some incorrect statutory interpretation type claims was fine, and you would not waive your right to arbitration necessarily by doing that. That was the reason.
Okay. Is that all you got?
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Do you have anything?
Judge Mannion?
Yes.
I just want to ask one short question. Counsel, if I can, could.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Good. Do you believe that there is a sort of a local practice conflict here? I mean, either one is right. I noticed that your primary office is in Michigan, where your opposing counsel is from Illinois.
I guess maybe can you repeat that question, Your Honor? I didn't know what you meant by local practice.
Well, a lot of what's done in the legal profession in the United States is based on what we do in our own backyard rather than what somebody might do in California or New York. Do you think that's a situation where it's maybe more common in Illinois to do, say, arbitration at a certain point versus Michigan?
Your Honor, I actually would say you're right, and if you look at the Sixth Circuit, it does have a tougher standard on waiver of arbitration than does the Seventh Circuit. So in complete candor to the court, if this case was likely pending in the Sixth Circuit, and I don't have the most recent Sixth Circuit case in front of me, but it's by Judge Griffin, and that may have changed due to the recent Supreme Court authority that's come down, the standard in the Sixth Circuit is tougher, and this might be a closer call as to whether ACID waived its right to arbitrate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if that's all you got, then we'll
thank
then,
you,
hear from Mr. Williams. You got a couple minutes, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Your Honor. So in our reply brief, Your Honor, we tried to clear up the issue about the standard of review. I think that's what you were asking me about. There's been an evolution in this circuit of the standard of review. Cabinetry and St. Mary's were decided under a clear error standard. And then Judge Wood wrote Iowa Grain. And that's the in my opinion, that's the case that changed the standard of review on these cases. And by that I mean this court has the authority to review the factual determinations by the judge on a clear error standard. But the application of the law to the facts, as the in this case what the judge did and I think did incorrectly, is a de novo review. Right? And here's where I think...
It's not abuse of discretion. It's a de novo review, you think.
Well, it's a two-part standard, and it's that two-part standard is outlined in my brief and specifically in Iowa Grain. The factual issues are resolved under clear error, and the legal decisions are resolved under de novo. And here's where I think this thing went off the track. In my opinion, Judge Reagan was following Judge Murphy's decision in a case called National Loan Exchange. And in that case, and it's in his decision, which I attached to my brief, in that decision, Judge Murphy applied a standard of, was their delay in asking for arbitration shocking to the conscience? Nowhere is that the standard in any court about the delay that the defendant had here in asking for arbitration, which is a very significant factor. That's one of the like five factors that are talked about in the cases. When there's an eight-month delay in asking for arbitration, that's considered to be very significant by this court.
But there was a long way before the trial date, wasn't there?
Yes, it was definitely a long way before the trial date. What's interesting is it's almost exactly the same amount of delay as it was in the St. Mary's case. And St. Mary's, the waiver was found that the defendant had waived.
Yeah, the only difference is it was a lot closer to the trial date.
Yes, and that's true. Absolutely true. I think the factors, though, are the removal, and that's something that's important. I'm out of time.
Well, finish your sentence.
Yeah. I think the factors that are important in this situation is that there's a removal and there's a presumption that attaches to that removal, and Judge Reagan didn't address that. I think the other important factor is the involvement in discovery and the attempt to pick my plaintiff off and the forcing me to answer discovery. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. This case will be taken under advisement. And that completes the argument for today. So the court will be in recess until tomorrow morning.